Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 192 of Her, the podcast where you'll hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and her dirty sex, clean eating. What? Oh, yeah, we got a good one for you. And before we begin, just know that this episode is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. That's right. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And here's your official first reminder to click on iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show. I just sit here waiting to hear your feedback. Come on down. I want to hear from you. So after the podcast, you'll be hearing from me again. Just a little heads up. All right, it's time for Her.
Her. The podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind.
Her body.
Her life.
It's all about her.
So I'm holding this new book called Clean Eating, Dirty Sex. Yeah, you heard it. And then I'm thinking to myself, what in the hey? And then that subtitle, Sensual Superfoods and Aphrodisiac Practices for Ultimate Sexual Health. Okay, you had me at dirty sex, but the rest of it sounds pretty good too. The author is Lisa Davis, who is our expert today, and she's had 2 decades of experience as a health educator and a broadcaster. She's worked as a sex educator as well as an HIV and hepatitis C educator. She's also a personal trainer, yeah, lift that weight, and health coach. She's got a master's degree in public health, and she's a creator, host, and producer of the syndicated It's Your Health radio, heard on regional NPR, as well as host and producer of Talk Healthy Today and Talk Fitness Today by AIM Media. I know those AIM guys really well. Oh, yeah. Let's bring it on. Lisa, welcome to the Her Podcast.
Thank you, Dr. Peek. I'm so excited to be here.
All right, Lisa, what the heck is this book about? I mean, you look at this title and you're like, wait a minute, blah, 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 blah. What the clean eating, dirty sex? Okay, why'd you write this and what is this all about?
Okay, so first let me explain the title. It is a play on words. I grew up in a family with lots of wordplay and puns, and maybe it doesn't translate as well because I'll talk to people who say, well, I'm not into dirty sex. And I'm like, yeah, neither am I. The book's not about dirty sex. It's a play on words, clean and dirty. Now, the book does talk about ways to enhance your sexual health through food, fitness, communication, hormonal health, stress, being aware of how you feel, what's going on in your life. It's a really holistic look at your overall health with a little special focus on sex. I wanted to do this book because I get about 4 to 6 books a week. I've been in this field a super long time. I actually have a show here on Radio MD, Naturally Savvy, by the way, which I really enjoy with Andrea Donsky. And I get all these books and I'm like, they never really talk about sexual health. And I want to look at it in a, like I mentioned, a holistic perspective. So that is what I set out to do.
I love it. Now, explain now, what is this whole issue? What is the main thrust of the book in terms of the kind of superfoods you're really concentrating on that enhance sexual health?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think when people hear the word aphrodisiac, they kind of roll their eyes. And I have to admit that I wasn't thrilled about the word aphrodisiac in the title because the foods that I'm talking about are backed by science. We're looking at 3 different things, antioxidants, flavonoids, and nitric oxide. So nitric oxide is a vasodilator. It helps your blood vessels to, open up and expand. Antioxidants help to keep your blood vessels healthy, and flavonoids do the same as well. And they also help with flexibility. So when I'm telling people to eat berries and to eat, you know, watermelon, which has something called L-citrulline that converts to L-arginine that converts to nitric oxide, or beets that have nitrates that turn into nitric oxide, not the bad nitrates, not the nitrosamines, which are in like the cured meat that you don't want, but like good plant nitrates. All of these things are going to enhance your sexual health on a physiological level. But like I said, there's so much more to it than that. And that's why I didn't want it just to be a book about, okay, so here's what you eat and you'll function better. You'll have less erectile dysfunction. You'll have more lubrication. You'll have issues. You know, those issues will be helped. But what if you're having mental issues and emotional issues or not connecting issues? So that's what I wanted to look at. But those foods have a lot of science behind them. And I know as a doctor, I mean, Dr. Peek, I'm sure you must have heard about these foods as well with their, you know, with all the vitamins and antioxidants and everything.
Oh, I'm just popping berries in my mouth as we speak. Come on, I'm not playing around. I want good sexual health. You know, long before you wrote this thing, honey, I'm just sitting there just popping those berries. Well, you know, speaking of which, sort of begs a question.
Sure.
If that's all so good for you, what is the standard American diet? Oh, my gosh. And what is that really doing to our sexual health?
Oh, the standard American diet is the worst. So that is the overly processed foods, the packaged foods, the sugary foods, the white flour foods, the white rice, the white flours, all those things. Full of preservatives. You know, if you pick up a box of food and I don't even think it's really food nowadays, and it has ingredients that you can't pronounce, just put it back. You know, try to eat your whole foods as much as possible. So what happens with the standard American diet is that, getting back to the physiology, we want blood flow, okay? Those foods, the white flour foods, the trans fats, those yucky hydrogenated oils, those are clogging up our arteries. You know, for years it was like saturated fat's the devil, saturated fat, saturated fat. And now there's more and more studies showing that that's not the case as much as looking at these highly processed fake fats, fake foods out there that are really hurting us and hurting our sexual function and our overall health, leading to diabetes and heart disease and stroke and a lot of other issues.
Okay. So really the standard American diet is killing our sex life.
Oh yeah. And us.
I mean, I'm just cutting through it all and let's just call it what it is, shall we?
Let's call it what it is. Yes. Yep. No, I agree.
I mean, it's not good. Because it's pro-inflammatory. And it also does not help promote the vasodilation that you're talking about, that is promoted by all of the healthy, you know, whole foods that are recommended in your book. And by the way, you've got a pretty cool, you know, cookbook here. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And is done in conjunction, you know, with Clean Eating Magazine's registered dietitian, Erin McDonald. Tell us a little bit about what are your favorite recipes? What do you like to use from this?
Well, you know, Erin, I just have to say, is amazing. And the reason that I asked her when I decided to have a recipe portion is because I eat so simply. Like, I'll have a little grass-fed organic steak, a yam, a huge salad, and some avocado. And, you know, I mean, that's really good, but I don't really have a lot of recipes. So I thought, well, who do I know who can take food and just make it shine and be absolutely fantastic? And that's Erin. She is a whiz with spices. So I asked her to do the recipes. I told her what foods I wanted her to focus on that are good for sexual health, and she did it. These are all original recipes, and they're fantastic. Probably my favorite recipe is the spiced chicken thighs. There's about 6 different spices. You mix them together, and it's just incredible. I love the spiced shrimp with the cauliflower mash, which you would swear is mashed potatoes, and the garlic kale. I love some of the salads that she has in here. She has a great farmer's market salad. And again, it has the pistachios, which have healthy fat. You want to have nuts and seeds for their healthy fat. And they have wonderful beets, which I mentioned earlier, nitric oxide. There's so many good things in here. As for dessert, because I'm very big on dark chocolate, very dark, 70 or higher, I actually eat an 85% dark chocolate, which for some people it might take some time to get used to, but it's worth it because that's full of the healthy flavonoids as well. She has some fabulous chocolate recipes. She makes an almond flour chocolate cake. And if you've never used almond flour, it's really incredible. She has an ooey gooey brownie recipe that uses a raw smooth cashew butter. And that gives it that really creamy, yummy consistency. So there's a lot of great stuff in here. My family has loved all of them. So
oh, I
and I have
love
a 14-year-old.
Yeah, I know, seriously. Oh my gosh, I feel your pain. That was your nutrition. Let's flip over to something else you're an expert in. Hello, exercise. So what type of exercises are best for enhancing your sexual health? Come on now. Oh, look. Our entire audience is taking notes now. So what's it going to be?
All right. It is going to be, number one, yoga. And there were some studies done that actually showed that yoga increases libido. And my husband and I have always kind of been mismatched in that department. I've had like an insane libido. I always have. And he has like a normal, regular libido. And he started doing yoga several years ago regularly. And now we are matched. And let me tell you, it's very nice. We've been together 20 years and we are hotter than ever. He also eats super healthy. He does a lot of cardio. He lifts weights. And that's the other one. Lifting weights is really important. That helps with the testosterone. The yoga is great. You can also do partner yoga, which is super fun. And then anything that moves you, you know, at the end of the day, you need to just get out there and find something that you enjoy because otherwise you're not going to do it. So
I love
Pilates more than yoga. So I do Pilates.
Well, and but that's another thing. You talk about the standard American diet in your book. There's right. also the standard American sit on your ass, which is, you know, just sedentary behavior. And right. obviously, girlfriends, this is not helping with your sex life. I mean, you know, and I know, Lisa, the studies that have shown that people who have a much more robust physical activity life, they're outdoors, they're, you know, hitting the trails, having a good time, do the gym thing, whatever, really have a much more vibrant sexual life as well versus people just sitting around and doing not a whole lot of anything.
Oh,
so
definitely.
I'm sure you address that, don't you?
Oh, definitely. I should mention dancing, by the way, is great, too.
Oh, dancing's the best, man. I mean, why do you think Zumba hit it? I mean,
oh, yeah.
Oh, my Isn't gosh. That's just like insane. I mean, if you can keep your legs all straight, I usually mangle them and fall over on my face, but that's okay. A couple face plants are good for you, I always say. But seriously, dancing, you know, like nobody's around, just having a good time, doing it by yourself, doing yes. it in a rave, whatever you want. I want to make sure people know that dancing, and also here's another one, play. Just play, right. for God's sake. Watch kids in a, you know, in some play yard, in the park or school or something. Watch what they do. They're just all over the place. And they're having a blast. It's just joyful and it's amazing. What happened to us? You know, we stopped playing, and that's when aging really kicks in. So I think playing is also a big piece of this. And, you know, all of this fits into excellent sexual health. I think that sexual health isn't brought up enough. I think a lot of people feel awkward about it, you know, having that conversation. Don't you find that, Lisa?
I do. And it's really troublesome because it's something that we all do, or most of us do, unless you're, you know, celibate and that's your choice. But it's just such a shame that we just can't talk about it more. And that's why I wanted to write this book. And I think once people open the book and start to read, they'll be like, oh, okay, this isn't about dirty sex. This really is about improving my overall health. And I don't know if you had a chance to see it, but one of my favorite parts of the book is a memoir section because I share my own journey from dirty eating. I mean, I ate more junk than any kid imaginable, probably. I mean, the amount of Girl Scout cookies I had stashed, Thin Mints, of course, in my room was insane because my mom was a total health nut. And I talk about that in the book, and her mom was a health nut. And then I talk about always feeling like a loser and being a late bloomer and never really having a boyfriend and just kind of feeling bad about myself. And then once I did bloom, I started using sex in an unhealthy way to get attention. And then I had to deal with that. And there's a lot of things that I think if you share your struggles, it makes you more relatable. And I think it's nice that we should be open about what we've gone through.
I think a lot of women don't talk about this. I think they don't know how to talk about this. You know, part of it is because we don't talk about it enough, Lisa, we don't even know what's normal.
Right.
You know, there are all these stereotypes and, you know, myths kicking around about how many times you should have sex to be, you know, as it were, normal. What's normal?
Right.
And how do you address that in the book? Because obviously what you're writing about begs the question. If you're writing about sexual health, what's normal and what's not?
Well, they say that a sexless marriage, I think, I might be incorrect, but I think it was if you have sex less than like maybe 5 or 6 times a year or something like that. It's pretty low. So if you're having sex once or twice a month, I don't think there's anything wrong with that as long as you and your partner are on the same page. They say the average is, I think, like once a week usually. But I mean, some weeks it's twice a week for me. Some weeks it's none at all. Some weeks it's 3 times. Sometimes it's 1. I think it really depends on the connection between you and your partner. And one of the things I address in the book is resentment. Because if you're feeling resentful towards your partner and you don't communicate well, the sex is not going to be happening. Because who wants to have sex with someone they're resenting? So that's a whole nother part of it. I want people to look at their relationship overall. How do you communicate? Do you use iMessages? Do you active listen? And all these things are defined in the book. So you can actually be there for your partner and actually be in the mood. Because like I said, you could eat the great diet and all the berries in the world, but if you're not connecting in other areas, it's not going to work out as well.
Oh, even you're wearing your sex therapist hat right now, Lisa.
Thank you. You know,
heck yeah, you are. And, you know, what's really important, right, is the whole issue of really addressing the quality of a relationship. You know, a discussion like this, by definition, you have to bring up issues of quality, communication, which is the glue in any relationship, transparency, trust, respect, you know, all of these incredibly kernel milestones that you have to be able to, you know, achieve in a relationship. Because as you said so wonderfully, you know, who the hell wants to have any sex with somebody you don't trust, you don't respect, you're having issues with, you can't even talk to. So, you know, before you, you know, hop onto the whole sexual bandwagon here, why don't you have a little, you know, look at your own relationship and figure out, you know, what do I have to do to improve it? When do you know, Lisa, when you have to seek professional help? What if someone's reading your book and they're going, you know, whoa, I'm a mess. How do you know when you should, you know, reach out for help?
I think if you're not able to communicate with your partner in any area of your relationship, if you don't feel heard, if you feel dismissed, if you're being emotionally or physical or any type of abuse, obviously, but even if it's not that clear cut, if you feel like one of the reasons we're not being sexual is because we just are not in tune with each other, we're not listening to each other, I think that's when it's time. I think people know. I think some people are just afraid.
Yeah, I think that they are. There's no question about it. I think that people, you know, this just hits so close to home, Lisa. I think every woman out there listening on the Her podcast is going, yeah, girlfriend, because it's a tough one. Also, the other issue is that relationships have ebbs and flows. Sometimes it's rocking and sometimes it's knocking. You know, I just made that up. Oh, dear God, I'm starting
like
to rhyme. You know, please make a note of that. That was actually a good one. But seriously,
really
I mean, you know, I think that people also grossly underestimate the amount of work a relationship is. I once said to someone that, you know, I could get an MD 20 times over for the amount of work I put into my own relationship with my husband, because it's just, you know, you got to be on first base here and be looking around. You got to know things happen.
Yep.
Just when it's stable, all of a sudden there's a phone call that changes up everything, or some experience or event happens. And guess what? You've got to adapt and adjust. And I know that you address this beautifully in your book, that, again, sexual health is an integral element in overall health and well-being. And I'm not sure how many people out there really understand that there's really hardcore, credible, peer-reviewed research studies that have shown that people who have a better sexual health, however you define that, by the way, however you define it, because as you age and all the rest of it, you're adapting and adjusting, so you're defining it and constantly redefining it. But if you keep that as an integral piece of your life, then you will most definitely enhance health and well-being. You bring this up too, the whole issue of, you know, no matter what age, et cetera.
Oh, definitely. And I also talk about hormones, because when I turned 43, there was like a switch that went off. I mean, I hit the wall hard of perimenopause. I was irritable. Worst PMS I ever had. I was sweaty. I had acne. I was miserable. My libido, that was usually sky high, tanked. My husband and daughter were practically hiding from me. I was like a monster. And I'm a pretty happy-go-lucky person, but it was just rough. So I ended up doing bioidentical hormones. I'm not saying that's for everyone, but what I do recommend is to get your hormone levels tested. Also get your thyroid tested. You know, also, I happen to have Hashimoto's, which is a autoimmune illness that affects your thyroid. So I take medication for it. But I have to say, by eating so clean, and especially I eat a lot of healthy fats, which I want to emphasize because that helps with sex hormone production. I eat a lot of avocados and olive oil and nuts. I think that I don't even have any of the symptoms anymore. I think that's part of the medication, but I also think it's that I really live a clean lifestyle. The other thing I want to mention, because I know we have a few minutes, is one of the things that I'm really proud of about the book is that I do have information on unhealed trauma. If you've been abused, those things come up, and there's PTSD and there's other issues involved, and you need to work on yourself and you need to get yourself some help, because that's something that can negatively affect you.
Yeah. You know, I am beyond thankful and grateful that you brought that up, because, you know, as you can clearly see from any headline today, that is a big boy right there.
Oh, and, yes.
You know, and you can define trauma any way you want to.
Sure.
In other words, it doesn't have to be something horrifically catastrophic, as you oftentimes read in the headlines. It's the way you define it. And it doesn't have to involve sexual intercourse. It could be other things that happen. It's the groping, the unwanted advances, et cetera. They could be grossly traumatizing. And I think, quite frankly, that men underestimate that. They think it has to be, you know, the big horrible things that happen.
Right.
And it's not. Listen up, guys. You know, this is really, at the end of the day, all about how a woman perceives these things, and they add up. And then eventually it's going to affect how they relate to someone they really care about. And you talk about this, don't you, Lisa?
Oh, definitely. And I think I'm so grateful for this era of Me Too, because we need to be talking about this. I know so many women who were sexually abused as children, and I see how it affects their lives. And it's just heartbreaking. And I think that now I look at my daughter who's 14 and I think, geez, she's going to be in an era now where we're all talking about this. And so it's a lot. I'm not saying it's easy to go and get help, but at least the issue is on the table. Whereas before, like, you just felt ashamed. And I think there are still women who feel ashamed, and I wish they didn't, because it's not your fault. And there are ways to heal.
Oh, I love it. You know, I'm just so very happy that you wrote this book, because it's really needed, and it's also very comprehensive. You know, some books about this are kind of more of a mind trip. You know, it's like, you know, how you think about it, and let's go back to that relationship and blah, blah. And all of that's really good, and those are great books. You know, I have a bias, just me, and that is I like more of a comprehensive integrative approach, more of a mind-body approach. And, you know, since both of us are fitness people, you know, I really think that that's often missing. And at the same time, you know, look at all these other factors, both the mental, spiritual, and as well as just interrelational and nutritional components that are just really crucial if you really want to be able to optimize your sexual health. All of this has to come together. Okay, now, Lisa, somebody out there is listening. I just know, I could just smell the hormones, and they're already freaking out, and they're going, oh my God, this is like, I'm going to say it in their voice. Oh my God, this is like so much at one time. I don't even know where to begin. So where do they begin?
Well, I think you should begin by getting Clean Eating Dirty Sex, because it's going to really help guide you in so many ways. Oh, and I should mention too, Dr. Peek, that there is a chapter on finding your why, which is huge, and motivation. And I also interviewed over 40 top experts, MDs, nutritionists, exercise physiologists, psychologists, so in the book, and got a lot of great advice from them for readers. So I think you should start there. And again, definitely, if you are, I'd say mid-30s, between mid-30s and mid-50s, get your hormones checked, see what's going on, and your thyroid as well.
Yeah, I think that that's extremely important. Obviously, I'm a physician, so I'm all about that.
Right.
And also, by the way, if you don't happen to have a physician who's really savvy with this, see, I used your word, savvy, who's savvy with this, then go find one. Look under functional medicine physicians or doctors, because functional medicine and integrative medicine doctors tend to be much more knowledgeable about a lot of this. And you really need to be able to spend some quality time with a medical provider who can actually, you know, sit down, interpret these results for you, and lay down some kind of a game plan and a strategy.
Right.
Now, if you're a woman and you're going through, you know, Lisa, you were describing the very special time you were having during perimenopause. I call it, you know, the sort of more of the perimonstrual syndrome, because we all turn into little mini monsters now, don't we?
Yes.
You know, during this time, you are a moving target. As a physician, what I do is I follow someone on a continuous basis, because what's going on 1 year, it's going to change the next year, because you're actually going through very significant and serious hormonal fluctuations, and they're going to have a really interesting impact. That's, you know, understatement of the year, on your life in toto. So that's why I really applaud your recommendation, Lisa, of going out and getting that hormonal profile, and not just one, but following over time, so that you have a continuously adapting and adjusting game plan to where you happen to be hormonally, because it's a real party, Lisa, let me just say, you know.
Well, I'm so glad you mentioned the functional medicine, because if you go to some mainstream physicians, this is a whole nother conversation. I'd love to come back sometime, but you know, they look at what they have as normal and like, oh, you fall with the normal. But then because I've had this happen, then I see a functional medicine, he's like, oh, no, this is what's happening. You know what? And I'm sure you've experienced this as well, that they need to know more about what they're looking for and what needs to be done.
Well, you know, there's also, quite frankly, Lisa, just hit the internet. You're going to get a gazillion, you know, hits when you put out, you know, women's hormones and hormonal balance and stuff. The mass majority of which is trash. I'm just putting it out there. It's trash.
Oh,
I'm an expert.
That.
I've got the alphabet soup after my name. I worked for that. And I'm telling you,
yes, you did.
That, you know, I deal with this all day long as a women's health expert. And most of it's just plain trash. What you want is you want evidence-based, published, peer-reviewed research that will help you understand the most credible way to be able to play this. And I wish, you know, and I know that you join me in my wish, there were more integrative and functional physicians and basically providers out there who, you know, were more knowledgeable and available to people instead of the traditional. Because quite frankly, most traditional primary care providers are not educated about this at all.
Right.
Are not. And they're using old textbooks and old knowledge base. And things have just changed hugely since the wonderful research done at the National Institutes of Health Office of Women's Research and more. We have great stuff out there. So, you know, there you have it. So everyone out there, please run out and get Lisa Davis's new book, Clean Eating, Dirty Sex, Sensual Superfoods and Aphrodisiac Practices for Ultimate Sexual Health. To learn more, go to her website, cleaneatingdirtysex.com. Honey, listen, you're not going to forget the name of this book. I mean, this is going to be one of those easy ones. So just run out there and get it. And Lisa, I can't thank you enough for being on the Herb podcast. And on behalf of all of our listeners out there, man, did we love this podcast. So thank you, Lisa.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Peek. I just adore you and your show. And I'm just so thrilled you had me on. Thank you so much.
Well, keep up the, you know, extraordinarily cool work. Say hi to my friends over there at AIM, Kim Paulson and all those folks. Love them, love them, love them. And listen, everyone out there right now, run on over to iTunes. That's an order, a command. And rate and review this show because this was awesome. Tell me what you thought about it. I love reading your feedback. All right, now, I'm Dr. Pam Peake, host of the HER podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peake or Twitter at Pam Peake MD. And remember to catch every episode of the HER podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today. And guess what? I want you to stay well.